Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Paganapake Pagan, and you're listening to Binge Watch on At the Movies. Joining me, as always, is Ian McNally, and today we are reviewing the brand new Netflix sci-fi show, Altered Carbon, based on a series of novels by Richard Morgan. This one stars Joel Kinnaman as Takeshi Kovacs, who is a man restored to life after 200 years in a future where literally anything is possible.
Almost
anything is possible. And he's been restored to life by this, I don't know if you can even call them billionaires, incredibly rich person, played by James Purefoy, played with particular glee by James Purefoy, who wants his assistance in helping him solve his own murder.
Yeah, there's the hook.
Exactly. And of course, I mean, there's another hook. I mean, Takeshi is also a renowned terrorist from 200 years ago.
Yes.
So there are multiple hooks. And this is a 10-episode series. It seems to be more of Netflix venturing down the path of really, really good science fiction, or picking up good science fiction novels and kind of adapting it. It feels at times like Blade Runner light, but I don't necessarily mean that in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
I think as much as you can do on a TV budget, this actually looks and feels spectacular.
Yeah, they do really well with the visuals. And I think as well, the whole concept of this show, or the whole MacGuffin of this show, is this idea, this alien technology that humanity found sometime in the far-flung future, where you can get a cortical stack installed, it's called, and it basically records your soul or your mind.
Everything about you.
Yeah. And using that, it's basically, if you die, you just pop it out. Pop it in a new body, or sleeve, as they call
sleeves.
It. Sleeves. And you're good to go. And
Richer you are.
The richer you are, the better sleeves you can get.
And the more times you can do it.
Exactly. You can just go into one that's the same age you are now, whereas most people have to go from beginning to end again and pay for a whole new sleeve. And they don't like that, because you get to go through senility and old age, and that gets a bit wearing after the first time. But the other hook is that humanity has colonized the stars, and the DHF, which is what's stored on your cortical stack, can be transferred from planet to planet far quicker than doing anything.
Correct.
There's no faster than light travel in this universe. It's basically, it's quicker to send someone's mind to a fresh body on another planet than it is to do anything else. And Kovacs is the elite envoy who can do that and be more up and battle ready in a shorter time than anybody else.
Yes. So, I mean, we've been using a bunch of words now. We're talking sleeves and envoys and stacks and DHFs, and James Purefoy is a meth or a Methuselah.
Yeah.
And
he's been alive, I think they say,
600 years,
something like that, 300, 600 years.
Yeah. And all of these things are there, and this is a series that you need time to get into. I remember watching the first episode. You've read the book.
Yeah, I read the book, so I knew about the stacks and the DHF and all that kind of stuff.
So I've bought the books, but I haven't had time to get into them yet.
Yeah.
And I needed that first episode to catch up, because people are dropping these terms left, right, and center. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what now? Who's the hotel's a what?
Yes. You end up starting with one Asian character, and then you get shot to ribbons, and you wake up with Joel Kinnaman, and you're like, who's this? What's going on here?
Yeah, why? Is this Ghost in the Shell? What's happening? Only it's incredibly clever. I mean, the first episode is exposition, exposition, exposition. But as I got into it, I realized that I really needed that exposition because I was quite lost in the first episode. When you get to episode 3 and episode 4, everything starts to make sense because the world feels a lot more lived in.
Yeah, and when you hear us talking about these things, if this was a sci-fi movie of the week or a Blade Runner ripoff,
right,
the whole show, or Ghost in the Shell, the whole thing would be about, well, are these copies of people real or not? But this show is so far beyond that that they're set in a future where, like, no, everyone just knows this. It's fine. Like, whether that is your, that's your life.
Also, it's a really interesting future because it's set so far in the future that it isn't necessarily relying on one particular trope. I mean, with Blade Runner, it's all about replicants, right?
And flying cars.
And flying cars, of course. This one is about everything.
Yeah, and I really like that kind of thing because Hollywood tends to dumb down or water down those kind of big sci-fi movies because there's too many things to get across in a short, too short a time.
Oh, they don't dumb anything down in this one.
In this one, you could easily do this where it would be, you know, backing up your mind onto a hard drive kind of idea. I mean, Strange Days was a little bit like that, I guess.
A little bit, yeah.
But that's like the kind of the
that
standard
suffered
path.
For some serious execution issues.
That's the standard path where instead of doing it 500, 600 years in the future, it's the day after tomorrow kind of thing. This is like, we've got weird VR things. We've got flash-grown clones that can be, you can put your mind into in case you need a spare going around. They have some flying cars.
We've got cockfights with real human beings.
Yes, there's genetically engineered human bodies that are like, one looks like a rhino that they like to watch in a fight scenes. Some people like to get synthetic bodies because they can control their appearance at will.
Yeah, the production design on this thing is immense.
Yeah.
I found it stunning that it was a television show. I mean,
I found some of the flying car stuff a bit crap.
Yes. Also, some of the zero-G stuff looked a little wiry.
The zero-G fight scene is probably about the lowest point I got in the series. I was like, ugh, this isn't working at all. But around about episode 7 is where I was like, this is great.
Joel Kinnaman aside.
Yeah, well, Joel Kinnaman's barely in episode 7.
Correct. But here's the thing. Joel Kinnaman is the kind of guy that really grows on you as the series progresses, only because you begin to really like the character.
Yeah.
And he feels, for better or for worse, he feels like he's completely committed to the role.
Yeah.
Which I think helps a lot. Now, I haven't read the book, but this feels like it's a throwback to the hard-boiled detective-style stories of the past.
Yeah, this is
There's heavy VO, there's interesting lighting, there are characters. I mean, I'm not giving much away when I say that one of the major characters is this hotel.
An AI hotel.
Yes.
Who are mostly ignored now because they tend to get a little bit like a sick puppy and get a bit overprotective of their customers.
And this one's modeled after Edgar Allan Poe, which is absolutely perfect for a kind of murder thriller.
But the book is more than a science fiction novel with a detective story in it. It is a detective story set in a science fiction world.
Right.
So that, I feel, really works for it. My biggest problem with Joel Kinnaman is just that when he's being threatening or he's being thoughtful, he looks like Joey from Friends trying to, you know, act serious. You know, he's trying to divide a big number by a slightly smaller number. Whereas you'll see Kovac in numerous sleeves in this, one of which is played by Baron Mann, who's his original Bert sleeve, hence the name. You know, a guy like Joel Kinnaman is not going to have a name like Takeshi Kovac. But his stuff is just so much more interesting and involved, and I don't know whether it's the acting or it's the stuff that Kinnaman's given. Because this envoy is supposed to be the ultimate drop-in soldier. Like,
yes.
He won't, like, he's 250 years beyond where he knew, and he's never been to Earth. And he's wandering around Bay City. So he has all these kind of training things that he has about, like, you know, making a pack for himself and figuring out, you know, it's all about absorbing. We take everything and we figure out what we need. And it's this ultimate kind of soldier thing.
And also the ultimate detective thing, right? Which is why he's the perfect guy to kind of solve this mystery, this murder mystery.
Yeah.
And all 10 episodes kind of work towards that end in that everything that happens, happens for a reason.
Yeah, you can get a bit, around 6 or 7, it can get to the point where you're thinking, it's like a James Bond movie, you're thinking, how is this tied back to what happened before the credits? It can get a little lost, but it does tie itself up. And it does stay very, very true to the book. They've made a couple of the characters more related to each other and more, like, they circle each other. They have better, more relationships to each other because whereas in the book it might be there's a series of characters who rotate in and out, it makes more sense to make them one character and have them have some kind of relationship with Takeshi as opposed to just someone who passes through.
Right. And all the characters you get, I mean, you've got Elliot, you've got Ortega, and you've got Poe, which kind of make up his immediate team.
Yeah.
They're all incredibly compelling characters.
Yeah, Ato Osando is absolutely great as Elliot. Like, he just gets the great lines. And Chris Connor as Poe, as the holographic AI hotel. is brilliant. It's just, I can't get the image of Kinnaman as like a Goomba from Super Mario Brothers movie. He's all shoulders, no knees, and a tiny head.
Oh, his build in this series is ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it's a combat sleeve with neurochem. So, you know, you need a good body to do this kind of crime work.
I really enjoyed this series. I mean, I was compelled all throughout. I think I wasn't sure where it was going in the first episode because the first episode was incredibly slow. There was a tremendous amount of setup.
There is some very cool design, though. Those Protectorate soldiers look badass.
All of the interfaces that everyone seems to be using.
Yeah, their onis and stuff.
Yeah, whether it's a phone interface. It's very well thought out. There's a tremendous amount of detail.
They do. In the first episode or two, they do use some sound cues from Blade Runner, which I think might hurt them more, but they get away from that after that, and then they're back, they're in their own world, and that starts working very well for them. There's also a gunfight scene at the Raven in the first one, which I think is supposed to come off more badass than it seems, but later on some of the action that comes up is absolutely fantastic. There's an attack in a lift that's pretty good. Lifts seem to be 2018's thing at the moment.
It's not corridors anymore, it's lifts.
Yes.
That's where it's happening. The strongest thing that this series has going for it is that it is a completely lived-in world, and they do very little to try and dumb that down.
No.
And I think that's the best decision they could have made.
Like, there's a poker game that takes place between AIs, and it's not really explained that at all or what they do. And it's just like, that's a great little thing, and it kind of plays into what they're doing later. And that, I think that's a slight change from the book. I'm not sure. I skimmed the book again because I read it. I'm in the sweet spot of having read it long enough ago that I remember the concept, and I was thinking,
but you don't remember who the killer is.
Exactly. And I don't remember most of it. And I was nicely surprised by a lot of what was going on, especially when Matt Frewer turns up, because this is the perfect
vehicle
for Max Headroom to turn up in.
Exactly. It's this and Babylon 5.
Yeah.
That's all you need him in. I think watching Altered Carbon kind of renewed my interest in long-form murder mysteries like this one.
That world, that lived-in world, it's also, I think there's a speech about, we thought Altered Carbon was release our better angels or that, instead it's made us worse. And it is this idea of the longer you live, the more those little foibles or white lies and things start to just expand and become horrible. And this is not a nice world to live in.
No, but it's a world that teases you just enough that you want to know more.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone living on the ground. Obviously, the rich people live up in the sky,
yeah,
right? And everyone, it's like Hong Kong, and everyone living on the ground, all the grounders have this sense of resignation because they know that they're never going to rise up above the skies, right?
Yeah, there's a line I think about, like, you either get to be the purchased or the purchaser.
Correct.
And this is not just Kovach, and because he's on ice because he committed crimes, it's literally the police force, the judiciary, the government, everything is like this.
And everything can be bought.
Yes.
All of that hinting, all of that intimation in the series kind of creates a nice environment that you want to explore some more.
You want to explore it with Kovach because he's the last good man in town, and he's the only one with the skills to do anything about it.
And he's not even a good man.
No.
There is a great line early on in the series where he goes, "No offense, I don't care about anything."
Yeah. They said, you know how they make a soldier like me? Because he starts off as a Protectorate soldier and then switches to this group called the Envoys. He's like, they take every instinct against violence and remove it and fill it with the conscious will to do harm. And this idea that, like, he's never going to pull a punch ever. And I think even in the book, when I was skimming through, I remembered this thing. He had a knife in his arm that if he flexed his muscles a certain way, it would come out, because that's a means to an end.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of guy he is. And it's kind of interesting guy to follow. What is interesting is the book and this differ slightly in ending things. And I'm thinking the follow-up books are a lot more sci-fi than detective.
Right.
And I'm thinking they might not go that path. They might be very faithful in this. And if they do go to a season two, maybe that will be a whole new story or more, not low-budget adventures of Takashi Kovach, but, you know, set them in one city instead of in a completely alien world or alien spacecraft.
I, for one, want to see more Altered Carbon.
Yeah.
I'm sold. I mean, it's been a great time for science fiction television. You know, you've got The Expanse, you've got this one, you've got Killjoys, which is also a lot of fun.
That's fun. Yeah.
It's fun, right? I mean, it's stupid
fun. It's bubblegum fun.
Dark
Matter is cancelled, I think.
Yeah, Dark Matter is cancelled, but that was a lot of fun too.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of good sci-fi, but I think even more so than The Expanse, I mean, the production cost and value that has gone into this one is stellar. So if you're a fan of Blade Runner, if you're a fan of even Noah movies, this is something that you can really sink your teeth into.
Absolutely.
I'll say my apprehensions of Joel Kinnaman aside, as you get later on in the season, he can be a little annoying in the first three episodes, but it's after episode three for me that I really start buying into his character and what he's trying to do with it.
I think it's Barron Mann when there's an episode where it has Joel Kinnaman's voiceover at the beginning and end and maybe a little bit of framing sequence. And it's a whole of Takeshi's backstory that's kind of, it's gleaned over the three books, I think. There's two or three books altogether. And they just put it all in the show at this point. And it is really good. Like, that's the point. I was, like, on the fence with Joel Kinnaman. But when I got to that episode, I was like, this is real good. And then Joel Kinnaman was okay because he was playing a version of that character I liked from episode seven.
Altered Carbon premieres on February 2nd. It starts streaming on Netflix, so be sure to check it out and let us know what you think. Heck, if you've already read the book, you can tweet us right now. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
You've been listening to Binge Watch on At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.